Whenever I hear people complaining, including myself, oh, I don't like the way this has changed, I think of an old man shouting, get off my lawn. Hi, and welcome to episode 176 of Art Juice. This is honest, generous, and humorous conversations to feed your creative soul and get you thinking with me, Louise Fletcher.
And me, Alice Sheridan.
Alice has just come back. I can see from looking at her from a very nice holiday because she's tanned, she's relaxed looking, and she's finding it a little bit of a struggle to get back into the swing of social media, marketing, art, business. And so that gave us our idea for this week's main topic.
As life in general, basically. It's one of those. Can we just like leave it how it was? Because it was quite good fun.
See, it wouldn't be so much good fun if you didn't come back to this, though, would it?
Yeah, if that was it all the time. The hotel manager did say every morning, welcome to another day in paradise. It was very nice. It was very nice. We went to Lemnos, and the irony of having avoided Greece in the summer for years and years because it's too hot, and then it being 10 degrees hotter in London than it was in Lemnos. It was quite funny. So we just had, you know, beautiful weather, lovely breeze. We were supposedly learning how to sail. They've probably faded now, but it was really quite windy. First day morning, just three mornings learning how to do this, was lovely. The second day we had like 4-6 winds, which you're not supposed to be out in as a learner. So it was quite a challenge, quite battered, quite a lot of no problem whatsoever in learning to capsize or hull a boat and turn it back the right way. And then I woke up the next morning absolutely covered in bruises. And I couldn't work out. I was like, how did I get these? Because even when I fall off, I didn't kind of bang myself that way, and no bangs in the heads from the boom going around and stuff. And then the first time I capsized again and I had to lean on the board to get the boat to turn the right way up, and I realized it was all bruised up the inside edge of my arm. So not glamorous, but really good fun. And I just realized how much I enjoy learning new things, even when I'm really rubbish at them. And really rubbish I was, because there's that kind of, you know, that inner level of hope. And next time I'll be able to do it better. Give me another go. Give me another go. Give me another go. And I'll get it right this time. But we had a really lovely time. It was nice. Small place. It was a bit like going on holiday used to be 25 years ago, you know?
Yeah. When did you get back?
Oh, I don't know, 24 hours ago.
So yeah, you're still in holiday mode.
Very definitely. And we haven't spoken for a while. So how have you been? What have you been doing?
Yeah, well, I went away for a couple of days with my mum. Very different experience. We were supposed to be going to York, but that was cancelled due to COVID. The house is clean, has got COVID and couldn't come in. She couldn't, so blah, blah. So I quickly had to scramble to find somewhere for us to go. And at this time of year, just before the school holidays, all the old people go on holiday to try and get away from the kids. So everywhere was booked anyway. We ended up in Scarborough, which is less than glamorous. Beautiful beach and lovely, you know, by the coast. But Scarborough's a little bit seen better days.
Did you go to the Sea Life Centre?
No, we didn't. Really. No, because we had Riley with us, so we're quite restricted. Oh, okay. So we were restricted to finding beaches where he could walk and going for walks, and it was really nice. But funnily enough, after what you just said, on the last day, we decided to go to Filey Brig on our way home, and that's like a long outcrop of land that goes out into the sea, and it's quite springy grass and peaty when you walk on it. So we'd taken Riley for this lovely walk, and it was a gorgeous day, and I was thinking, everything about this morning is perfect. My mum and I are getting on well, the dog's having a good time, the weather's lovely, the views are nice. Fell over, tripped and fell headlong all of a sudden, winded myself, managed to get up and thought, I'm not too bad. And then as we drove home, my leg started to really hurt. And when I got home and looked at it, it was black and blue. But the next morning it was black, blue, purple, gold,
yellow. Yeah,
from my knee, from my very swollen knee all the way down to my bruised and swollen ankle. And that was 2.5 weeks ago, and it's just beginning to get feeling back in part of my knee. And the bruising's gone down, and as it gets feeling back, it's going really itchy. So it's like, oh, knee's itchy. It's horrible. So moral of this story is, when you're just going, la-di-da, everything's perfect, watch out, because you might be heading for a fall.
Oh, that's not a moral to take away.
No, it's not a very good moral, is it? But luckily, it doesn't seem like anything is particularly truly injured. It's just battered and bruised.
Yeah, yeah.
So apart from that, I've been doing a little bit of painting the last few days for the first time in a while. But nothing exciting to report, because I don't know what I'm doing with those. That's just exploration and playing at the moment. Yeah.
We are going to talk about, I think we're just going to talk a little bit, because we started chatting beforehand, tech grumbles, and then kind of spilled over into social media. And something about this is, I don't know if there's a pace of change. I mean, I was only away for a week, and there were things that happened, that software that I used to run the membership on, that had somebody else logging in to do things. Two things happened and changed within the space of 4 days that meant that things couldn't operate as they should have been able to. I had limited Wi-Fi. It was a pain. And so we just started having this conversation about knowing that we are not the only ones who have this frustration, and are we getting really tired of it? And one of them was a security login issue, which I understand. You know, I understand why they don't want accounts unsecured, but everything you have to do these days, you do your lot, whether it's banking, it's not just art or courses, it's everything. And it's codes here and that there. And Paul's applied for a passport for Amy somewhere, and he's got to contact somebody else, and the somebody else didn't reply. And now he's got to fill all the. Oh my God, it's enough to make your head completely spin, isn't that? I mean, you could spend your entire life doing things like that. How are we supposed to find the time to do what we want to do is one thing, because everything seems to be more consuming. And I just came back and I looked through Instagram and I was scrolling, and I said to Louise, feels like I spend all my time on there. And I didn't look at it when I was away, scrolling and not finding what I used to find. And I know I'm not alone in that.
No, I think we've seen a lot of people, well, I've certainly seen in my group, people talking about social media, and particularly Instagram, because that seems to be the one that a lot of artists use. So that's the one that the changes get noticed most. And people complaining and saying, you know, it's not what it used to be, which it isn't, it's definitely changed. And part of me wonders, I definitely feel like you do. I look at it and think, I find myself scrolling through. And until I figured out how to turn off recommended things for 30 days at a time, I was giving up on it, because it was just, if you watch a reel and then you accidentally watch the next reel because they feed off each other, then it starts showing you all sorts of stupid reels for things you're not interested in. I was getting bridal reels and puppy reels and all sorts of things, royal family reels. I don't know how I ended it with them.
Well, I've seen people who haven't even noticed this. So if you haven't noticed this and you're like, what is going on? When you're going through your feed, you'll see that underneath a post, if you're scrolling through, it says sponsored post if it's an advert, and it says suggested post. So if you're seeing things and thinking, what is this? It's look and see if it says suggested post. And that could be because you've looked at something else, or, you know, and the idea is that you get to see more. So it broadens out, it opens the scope of what you see. You're not living in an Instagram bubble, a little bit like the Explore page used to do. The difference is Explore page, you could go to when you wanted to see something. This feels like it's being shoved in your face all the time. And you can turn it off. So you go to the three little dots, and you can either hide that suggested post, or you can snooze suggested posts for 30 days. So that's the first thing to do if you're feeling like, what is all of this stuff? This is not what I'm on here to see.
It's very bad imitation of TikTok and YouTube. So YouTube does that a lot. They send you more of what you've watched. Mm-hmm. But YouTube's got the advantage that they can see that you watch something for, say, 10 minutes. So they can see, okay, must be interested in that. And they'll send you more, which has good and bad sides to it. But TikTok, apparently, and I don't really use TikTok, but I've heard a lot about its technology, and it has apparently an amazing algorithm that within a few days of using it, you will be seeing things you really want to see, and it will be really just tailored for you. Mm. And I heard a whole podcast trying to work out how they do it, because apparently it's quite far advanced of any other social media. But Instagram, whatever.
I've tried looking on TikTok again, because every so often somebody says you should be on TikTok, and I go on and I do the same. I'm scrolling, like, there is nothing here that I want to see.
Yeah, I think you have to spend, like I say, you have to spend some time on it. But once you spend a bit of time on it, actually watching what you want. I don't know the details. I just know I listened to a tech podcast where they talked about the amazing. Apparently, there's this one woman, for example, who can't burp. And within a few days of being on TikTok, and she'd never discussed this with anyone, she was seeing videos from other people who can't burp. It's a thing, apparently, and it's actually quite bad for you, because what happens is you make this little noise that comes out when you don't want it to, because you can't burp. So anyway, she said, how the hell did TikTok know I can't burp? And anyway, so this whole thing was about how advanced their algorithm is. Whether it is or not, I have no idea, because I don't use it. But the point is, Instagram's is not, because it is showing me not only things I'm not interested in, but things I actively disapprove of. Like, they have got no clear knowledge of me as a person, which is quite interesting, because I use Facebook for business a lot, and I've used TikTok for years, Instagram for years. So how come they have no idea about me, and they think I care about Prince William and whatever her name is? They're putting that in my feed all the time. So it's terribly done. I think that's part of the reason why it's annoying. It's not showing me lots of other artists, which you should be doing. That would be the thing based on my history. It's not doing that. It's showing me all sorts, dogs, soldiers coming home and dogs greeting them, made up videos, fake videos where soldiers have come home and the dogs got mad. Why am I seeing that? I don't care.
And you post lots of videos of Riley.
Yeah, but not in any way related to the US military. And anyway, so I think it's done really badly, and that's part of it. And the other thing is, whether you embrace reels or not makes a big difference, I think, whether you enjoy them. And I'm just wondering how much of the change that we're not liking is because we're getting older, and Instagram has move towards a younger audience, maybe. I don't know any. I've read anything about their strategy. I just feel like whenever I hear people complaining, including myself, oh, I don't like the way this has changed, I think of an old man shouting, get off my lawn. It's like, it is what it is. It's changed. It's this now. And
it's never going to stand still, is it? That's the thing.
No.
And all of this, everybody being unhappy. Do you remember when they first brought in stories? Oh, you're just trying to rip off Snapchat and stay on your own platform, and that's not what Instagram is about. And, my kids use Snapchat. I've never used Snapchat. But stories basically was a Snapchat ripoff. I liked the intimacy and the immediacy of stories, but I also liked the fact that you could choose. It was in a separate place, so you could get involved in them or not get involved in them, or watch them or not watch them. And the difference with Reels is that they're pushing it so hard that almost everybody is feeling like they're forced into making Reels. And you can make, I mean, I enjoy them sometimes, but not all the time. Likewise, I enjoy looking at them sometimes, but I don't want to see them all the time. Mm. But it's all just kind of jumbled up together now. And I wonder if the algorithm has got not good, because everybody's being force-fed Reels. We're not actually doing it by choice. So it's kind of messing up the data that they're being fed about what we're actually engaging with and watching. It's very hard to comment on a Reel.
Yeah, I think you're right. That is a big part of it. If you just saw the Reel you were watching, and then that was it, you might be they might be getting a much clearer picture of what you actually care about.
The thing is where does it leave us? And you know, Instagram has only ever, should only ever have been, you know, part of what we do. We've spoken about this a number of times before. I almost wondered about deleting my whole account yesterday.
Yeah, I know. Why would you do that?
Why would I do that? I don't know. Interesting, isn't it? Well, I came back and I felt, I haven't posted for a while on it. And I suppose I've been aware for a while. I think it's this thing of like what you put energy and enthusiasm in, and then it grows and it becomes a sort of self-fulfilling thing. I just don't feel that enthusiastic about Instagram anymore. I feel like it's making you work too hard. It's making me do things I don't, like I say, I don't mind playing around with reels, but I feel like I've given up on stories because my story reach is just not worth it. Honestly, not worth it. Not worth my time.
Yeah.
Which is crazy given the fact that only a couple of months ago, the reach and interaction was, you know, decent.
I noticed something, by the way, speaking of this idea of we have to do reels or we have no reach. I did a post which must have somehow made it onto Explore or somewhere that you go to see. It was just a still photo of my exhibition, and it reached 500,000 people.
Wow, that's amazing.
Out of nowhere. And it was a still photo with a little caption. Now, there's no logic to that because there was nothing any better about that photo than any of the others. But the point is,
it got momentum.
But when people say, oh, I did a reel and it reached 500,000 people, so reels are the future. Okay, but I did a still post that reached 500,000 people. I don't think it's as necessary as we think it is. But just going back to what you said about deleting, because I saw someone in my group deleted their account because they didn't like it anymore. And worked up to like 2,000 followers and deleted it. And I just thought, why? Like, okay, I see that you don't love it anymore. But that's 2,000 people that said they wanted to hear from you and about your art. And you're just going to go, bye. But what's the alternative? There's got to be something else in its place before you do that, I think. Or you've decided, actually, I'm not bothered about selling my art, or I'm not bothered about people finding it. It's either I found another avenue or I don't care. I'm exploring YouTube, as I mentioned, because I quite like longer videos. I quite like making longer videos, and it is the second largest search engine in the world. So as a way of attracting people. And I'm starting to think about how I could experiment with it for my art, not just for my teaching. Like, how can I experiment with showing my process and bringing in more art lovers, maybe? Haven't got the answer to that, but I am thinking certainly branching out and perhaps putting less effort into Instagram, I think.
Mm. I think that's what I mean when I say delete. I don't mean delete.
Yeah, you wouldn't actually delete all your 45,000 followers.
Well, I just think it's an extra wake-up call. And this is the bit about it that quite excites me, is that I've never believed in there being a kind of, you know, systematic formula thing for doing things. And what I've enjoyed about Instagram is the sense of, you know, gathering things together visually. I've always enjoyed that about the work, the interaction with people, the fact that sometimes it does, you know, encourage you to try new things, to be braver, to do things like live streams on Instagram, show your face on stories, and all of that I think has massive knock-on effects with other things that we do. And so I'm just kind of thinking, and again, it's still at that stage where it's just formulating, all right, well, what is it about some of those elements that you could take off into a totally different format? Now, again, I don't have the answer yet. I don't know. Would it reach as many people? No, because you're absolutely right. There are still posts that do really well. It's just, it feels like it's not reliable in any way. In terms of letting people know what you're doing, which it should never have been.
No, I mean,
probably some of us fell into that trap.
No, yeah. But we've both built up decent mailing lists because we knew you have to get people off those platforms and onto a mailing list, if at all possible, because that's where, even though email itself is less reliable than it used to be because people read less emails, et cetera, but still having a personal connection. The way I feel about all of it is until 20 years ago, there was no way for artists to share their work for free with the whole world.
Mm.
And like anything, at the beginning, it's always easier. Twitter was amazing when it first started. I remember using Twitter when it first started. Fantastic. And I remember someone saying, the nice thing about Twitter is, it, unlike the real world, it's really kind. It's such a kind place. Chris Brogan, who was a marketing guy, wrote that. What a kind place it is. And it was for about 2 years. It was amazing. Now it's a cesspool of hatred. So everything is great and fantastic at the beginning, but just because it gets worse doesn't mean it's not valuable. Because I always think about, like, imagine the female artists of the past who couldn't get any attention because all the men wouldn't let them have any attention. If they'd have had Instagram with reels and lots of suggested posts, they'd have gone, oh my God, you mean I can actually send out my work to all these people and no one, I don't have to pay anyone or sleep with anyone or any of that. I can just, so I think we have to kind of have a sense of perspective about it as well, that it's the best time ever in the history of the world to be a creator, without a doubt, because we are able, especially a female creator, it's a leveling off of the playing field to some extent. But that said, it's not ideal. And if Instagram eats itself up by doing things which make it so unusable, I've got to think something else will take its place. Something else has to come along, because it always does. Like, where did TikTok come from?
China.
Well, yeah, I know literally, but I'm saying... It came, you know, 1 minute it wasn't there, the next minute it was already massive. And
another reason not to use it, though, maybe.
Well, the reason not to use it is our age at the moment. I went on TikTok because I once again heard Gary Vee, which he's been banging on for years. TikTok's going to be massive. TikTok's Gary Vee, if you don't know him, is a marketing guy who's been doing marketing since he was about 30. Now he's in his mid-40s and
he looks about 75, so don't do it Gary Vee way, because he looks absolutely knackered and he has done for years. He anyway, does though.
Amazing advice always. And he's been going on about TikTok for years, and now he's still going on about it, saying, look, you've got another year left to make the most of TikTok before it's over. So, and he keeps saying Instagram's dead. We all know Instagram's gone. So it's just like in the death throes. You got to go to TikTok. So I went on TikTok again to look, and I looked up art on TikTok because I know a lot of business owners who are now using it, you know, adults who are using it. But it's still in the art world, very childlike art oriented. It's still A-level students. It's still portraits of floaty women with curly hair. You know, it's very much like teenage girl art on there, as far as I can find, when you just look up the hashtag for art. But then I can hear Gary Vee's voice saying, so there's nobody on there yet doing what you do. So wouldn't that be the perfect time to be on there, instead of waiting like Facebook till everybody's on there and everybody's pushing their stuff?
Yeah. Have you found ever, though, on TikTok, a thread that actually has intelligent comments underneath it?
No, because we're old. This is what I'm saying. Because we're old. I've found things on TikTok.
Therefore, your audience, will your audience not be there then?
But this is the problem. This is what I'm saying. So do you lead the way there? Or do you think, you know, it's all right? I believe that Gary Vee's audience is there. I believe that I'm just not sure ours is. And the thing about TikTok, my problem with it is I found all sorts of funny and interesting things on there, but they're not funny and interesting enough to make me want to watch a 30-second video, because I can't, it's not enough engagement for me. I want more depth, and TikTok doesn't give that. Because that doesn't appeal to me, I don't think I could ever successfully use it. I think you have to love something to use it effectively.
Exactly. Yeah.
So unfortunately, no matter which way I look at it, I can't see making the most of TikTok. I feel it's a lost opportunity, but I don't feel I'm the person to take it.
There's an atmosphere about it, though. And even so, I've looked at people who have been, you know, offering courses on how to use TikTok, and I look at their TikToks to see how they're doing. Not so hot, you know, and I'm like, I don't know, it just feels like there's a little bit of an air of desperation about it. It's just so much that look at me.
It's not all that, though. There's a lot on there. Yeah. No, so there's a BBC journalist I was looking at for a while, and he did these really funny little shorts on there about the news. And it's just, you know, it's what you find on there. Like I say, I found people I found funny, smart, interesting. I found a mother who was hilarious with her son, but I lost interest because it's 30 seconds. Maybe if you had a YouTube video, maybe if you had a series of a podcast, I might be interested. But, and we have to acknowledge our age, the role that plays in this. TikTok isn't meant for us. It's not designed for us, but Facebook wasn't designed for us when it first started. When it first started, I remember people saying, don't do any, I was on Twitter, don't bother with Facebook, that's for kids. Facebook's for kids. Now look at Facebook's for old people. So will TikTok, and then we've killed it. That's what's happened. It became the old people's place and then we killed it. So will TikTok become the old people's place and then in a few years be dead while the young people have moved somewhere else? I don't know.
Possibly.
I don't know. I just think our age plays a part, and we can dismiss these things. And I am dismissing TikTok because I don't want to do it. But I am aware that I'm missing out on something because I'm nearly 60, and I'm just not going to be able to keep up with or want to keep up with things which are designed for somebody who's 18.
My husband's over 60 and he's watching TikTok.
Well, there you go. But would he make TikToks?
We wouldn't make TikToks. And the question is, I don't think he's bought anything from TikTok yet. He's made things, like he's done recipes from TikTok. I mean, I think there's a certain style of video that works very well. It's the pace of it that I don't like. It's there's no breathing space.
Yeah.
That's what it is for me. And that's what I used to find in Instagram, that it actually fed me. It actually nurtured me to a certain degree. And I'm not finding that anymore. So my question is, where else can I create that for people who are interested in it in my world? Because if Instagram is falling away, there has to be something else. And so I've been asking myself, where are those connections happening? What have I been enjoying doing over the last few months where I've actually found that restorative feeling again? And it's not in huge groups. It's in smaller groups. It's in-person contact, but the issue is you've still got to be able to reach people.
Yeah, so we're talking about two different things. I don't think I ever found social media to be restorative in that sense, or community. I don't think I really found that in it. What I found was, oh, here's a way to find things I enjoy, but also to communicate what I want to communicate and get people to find my artwork. So I very much saw it as a business thing, which is partly, I think, our natures of social versus not social.
Yeah.
I'm quite a social person, and maybe there's a way that it's two things. Maybe it has to split into two things. And like you say, it's smaller groups. Smaller groups are fantastic for inspiration and community and camaraderie and all that, but they don't help with marketing. And Instagram is no longer good for community for you, but it still can help with marketing. It still can bring people onto your mailing list or to your website from time to time. maybe not as well as it used to. I think what worries me is if it doesn't work as well as it used to, and that, so now you have to put more effort into something else as well. So now I might have to do YouTube and Instagram and Facebook and put effort into all of those, and then it becomes more tiring. So I'm interested to see what YouTube does for me, but knowing that at any moment I could be saying to you, can you believe what YouTube's done? They've taken away this, or they've changed that, and now I no longer get the, you know, the engagement that I used to. Or it's so tough because it's always going to keep changing. And I think when you're younger, you just go, I remember going from Twitter to Facebook, for example, for my other business. Oh, Twitter, I don't like it anymore. I'm going to use Facebook, do a blog, do this. I just flitted between them without, and it was so quick and easy to learn the new one. Now I feel a bit like, oh, TikTok, all that's going on and it's not for me. And I'm loving learning about YouTube. I'm taking a course and I'm learning a lot about what I can do on there. But it's taken me a lot longer to learn it than I think it would have done 20 years ago.
Is that not part of the nature of YouTube, though, that you know, the creation of it is longer? That's what puts me off YouTube. You know, that editing video, it just takes, it's more consuming, takes longer of time. Whereas that's why I think I liked stories, because they were kind of quick and easy to reach people and, you know, felt natural, whereas editing videos.
I find this is why I don't like reels, because I can't edit videos on my phone. I hate it. I just constantly, oh, what's happening now? Oh, it's too small. I can't do it. And I don't want a giant phone just so I can edit videos. So I suppose I like YouTube because I don't mind editing videos and I can do it on my laptop, and I don't make them particularly glitzy or glamorous or professional or any of that. It's just, here's what happened. They're getting better. But what I'm learning about YouTube is not so much, I think my videos are actually fine. It's all the stuff around it. It's the search engine optimization, the thumbnails. I've had just a lesson on thumbnails that was so interesting and how to get people to click on those. So I like learning that kind of thing, and I am enjoying that, and I can cope with it because, like you said about TikTok, I feel like on YouTube, I've got breathing space. I can take as long as I need to say what I want to say. I can take as long as I want to show something. And it's not bombarding me.
I wonder if it will change. YouTube will go down the, okay, at the moment it's showing people 20 minute, 10 minute videos, you know, 4 minutes might be ideal, but there's space for longer.
I think it'll always have the long ones, but they are introduced shorts now. Shorts are, again, for young people, they don't have the attention span to sit and watch a 10 minute video, but I'm all right with that because my audience is not going to be 18. So I don't have to worry about doing shorts. I'm just going to stick with the longer ones. But I don't think they'd ever get rid of the longer ones, because that's where they can stick a lot of ads and all of that in the long videos. After 8 minutes, it has to be 8 minutes long before you can put ads in the middle. And YouTube makes a fortune from those ads, an absolute fortune. But anyway, yes, it will change. And that's what I mean. Something else will come along. The benefit, I was just thinking that we have, I used to work in the music industry in a field that's completely disappeared, doesn't exist. Then I used to write resumes, which are almost non-existent anymore because everyone uses LinkedIn. As artists, I do feel like, okay, whatever else happens, art's not going away. So the way we market it will change, and the platforms that come along will be different, and we might have to adapt. But at least I know it's not like record stores. It's not going to just vanish. It's just that it'll morph into a different way of doing it. People will always be interested in art. It's just, how will they find you? And I just can't see us making an old people's social media platform. This is Facebook. We've got one.
Don't keep calling me an old person.
Sorry.
Speak for yourself.
Well, I'm sorry, but you know. Yeah. That's what it is, though. When I hear people talking about they want something that suits us, that moves more slowly, but
I'm not sure that it is that, actually. I think because all of those things exist, and that's fine. So let it be on TikTok. I think what people are frustrated about with Instagram is that, okay, it's not just that it's changing, it's that it's removed what was working about it for a lot of people.
Yeah, I agree. I think they have too. I think actually the audience they're trying to appeal to will never want to be on Instagram. Well, I think they're trying to hold on to young people because Facebook lost young people. And I think that they're doing it. Whenever you see any business in any field copying another business, it's never a good sign. No, it always means they're desperate.
Yeah. It is. That's the thing. Yeah.
So I agree with you.
It's a bit crazy too. You know, the chase for young people. I mean, okay, I know they're going to grow up and it's a bit like banks, isn't it? If you get a bank account with a bank when you're 18, 17, you'll probably stay with them because of inertia. But it's different because social media is always changing, always moving. So it's not like you get somebody when they're young and they'll stay with you forever. The thing that I don't understand about this, the chase for young people isn't the spending power with
the old people. I know because TV networks in America, I remember they used to talk about the demographic for certain shows, and the ideal demographic was the older demographic because that's the ones with money to purchase from the ads, and also they buy the prescription drugs that they put on the ads and things because they need them. So yeah, I know. I don't quite understand it, and I might be wrong about what they're doing, but it feels like that to me. That's what it feels mm-hmm. like.
Mm.
And whether it's to chase young people or not, it's certainly to copy TikTok. That's for sure because they haven't got any other idea. The other problem we haven't talked about, but that's that Facebook is fantastic for business, or it has been for me. Really fantastic. The ads, the groups, which are great, and nobody has groups like Facebook does. But that is becoming harder because more and more when I do my course, there's more people saying, I don't use Facebook on principle, so can I still do the course? Which the answer is yes, but you miss out on the whole community element if you're not in Facebook. And also because of privacy regulations, stopping people getting ads in the same way, people are allowed to control whether they see customized ads now in the way they weren't a few years ago. So it's made the advertising on Facebook less effective. So that's the other thing. I keep saying that's the old person's network. I'm joking, really. But that's dying too, because that is slowly more and more people are leaving. More and more of my friends are not on there anymore. I used to use it to keep in touch with friends, but they're not using it.
Yeah. So. No, I still think there isn't an alternative yet for groups. I'm part of something and we start in it. It's small-ish. It's not me leading it, somebody else leading it. And we started off with using something else for the community element. And after 3 weeks, it's not working. And she's gone back to a Facebook group because nothing else offers things in the same way.
Yeah.
I think that will be next, is that they'll make you pay for groups or monetize groups or something like that. The day they put ads in groups.
People often ask me, isn't there another... Well, they'll suggest a software and say, I know this does groups or that allows groups. The problem is people don't log in. I'm sure we've said this before. People don't log into those other softwares, so they don't join in your group. So a Facebook group is the way currently to get people involved and engaged in a community. And like on my course at the moment, the group is amazing. Yeah. And I know it is for your membership. It really is a community, as if we were all there together. Yeah. We're helping each other, we're cheering each other on, we're answering each other's questions. That they are quite amazing. And I often say to people, even if you don't want to be on Facebook, just join for the length of the course and be in the group and then cancel it again if you want to.
Yeah.
Because you miss out if you don't do that. But so we've not really solved anything because we're just in a place where...
Well, we're just having a bit of a grumble about it because everyone's a bit of a grumble about it. But Yeah, there isn't an answer as such to it, other than, you know, we know that things are always going to be changing. And I think, I don't know if there's a point at which you jump ship. I know that there are various other things that I can't even remember the names of now that are various points along the years. So I remember there was something beginning with a V and everyone went, oh, this is going to be it. This is going to take over. No, I opened an account.
Periscope. Yeah. And then there was that thing recently, that radio thing, live on
Clubhouse.
Yeah, I didn't even get around to starting an account before that died.
Yeah. Did that, tried that, not the same.
No.
So I suppose my thing is the frustration of how much of time and precious energy goes into either investigating something new that doesn't go anywhere or feels like it's increasingly taken up with not trying to make it work, because I'm not even talking about making it work. I'm talking about it not feeling right anymore. And so, you know, I'm just mulling. I'm just opening up the box for what the alternative will be. And I think that there will be I'm not talking about me making a new flipping social media platform. I'm talking about me using what exists already in a slightly different way to get results in a way that feels right for me. I don't know what that is yet, but it will be one of those answers that suddenly kind of goes, oh yeah, that feels like fun. Let's do it that way instead.
Mm.
And it might mean that I show up less on social media.
Yeah, don't try starting a new social media network. No. Donald Trump tried that, and I don't think it's working out very well for him.
Well, yeah, we won't go down that route. We won't be doing that. Right, so this is actually, we're going to be taking a break anyway, because we've noticed in the past that, you know, things fall off a little bit in the summer. People are away, busy doing things. And so you have now got 150 lots to go back and catch up with any that you have missed or you want to listen to again. If you're desperate to hear our dulcet tones, there are plenty of back ones that you can go back and listen to. But we are going to be taking a break. We will be back in September, maybe. We will be on Instagram, maybe. So
maybe.
You can find us on Instagram. Louise is at LouiseFletcher_art. I am at Alice Sheridan Studio. And our websites are LouiseFletcherArt.com or AliceSheridan.com if you want to see more. I need to be paying a little bit more attention to my website, doing a few more updates on that, I think. So that's what we're going to be doing. What are your plans for the summer?
Well, funnily enough, my holiday is in October, so I'm not having any holidays over the summer.
Yeah.
So I'm running this course. It finishes in the middle of August, and then we do a follow-on course, which is only for students of the first course. That'll take me right the way through to my break. So teaching, making videos for that, investigating YouTube, and trying to get some painting done. That's my plan. What about you?
Well, I have Fresh Art Fair coming up in September and Manchester Art Fair in November, which I haven't given a lot of thought to. And Fresh we're doing for the first time with a group of artists, because it's one of those shows that you can't exhibit as an individual, so it's galleries and collectives only. So that will be fun and interesting to work out. And then I have got something that I need to get back in touch with for doing an event with John Lewis in September, so I need to check in with them and see what needs doing on that. But other than that, I'm going to be reading, drawing, having a bit of playtime in the studio, and just enjoying the summer, really.
Oh, I've got some book recommendations for you then when we get to what's inspired.
Right, let's get to that then. What's inspired? Because I read a dire book on holiday, and my husband kept saying, why don't you just give up on it? I'm like, well, no, because I want to happen with what happens within the story. And then they had a book swap at the hotel, and I really annoyed my daughter by reading an entire book yesterday in between leaving the hotel and arriving back home in the evening. She's like, how come you read a whole book in a day?
So the book I want to recommend to you, I've got two actually. One I read in a day.
Yep.
She's my favorite writer anyway, I think. Jojo Moyes.
Okay.
You know her?
Yeah.
And the book is called Night Music. And it's a little bit of a slow start, but absolutely fantastic book about a woman who inherits a crumbling old house and has to move into it because of she's short of money. Really, really recommended. And the other one is a bit more literary, and I'm halfway through it called The Muse. Have you read this one?
Nope.
And it's an art-related novel. It's by Jesse Burton, who wrote The Miniaturist.
Oh, yes.
And it's about a painting, and I won't spoil it by saying any more than that. But I'm absolutely intrigued by it. And it's one of those stories that happens in the present and the past. Well, it's not the present. It's the 60s and the 30s.
Okay, because The Miniaturist was quite a long time before that. It was quite slow to get going, The Miniaturist.
Yeah, this one's been a little bit slow, but not too bad.
Yeah.
And I'm really, really enjoying it. And I love that it's about art. So,
yeah.
And it's a feminist book. And yeah. It's interesting.
That sounds good. That sounds a nice meaty one. I've got one on my bedside table. Have you read any Peter Ackroyd books?
Yes.
So he tends to write quite interesting historical based books. So there's one called Hawksmoor, which is about all the churches in London, and Chatterton he wrote.
Chatterton I've read. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Anyway, my son read the Frankenstein one and said it's really good, but I'm feeling that's very definitely an autumn book, so that one's going to have to wait.
Right. I also have a podcast recommendation as usual. This one is really good. So it's just come out, I think, recently. The podcast is called The Wittering Whitehalls. And do you know Jack Whitehall?
Yes.
Jack Whitehall's mum and dad. His dad is the funniest person. He's hilarious.
Did you see Travels with My Father?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're very well-to-do. Very move in completely different circles than I would ever move in. He used to go out with Carol Thatcher, and he tells a story about having drinks with Mrs. Thatcher at one point. And all his stories are hilarious. He's an agent for actors, so all his stories are hilarious. They all involve celebrities and or politicians or minor members of the royal family. So it's just fascinating to hear. And it's half an hour long, and people write in with problems and then they give their advice. However, mostly they just go off on a tangent reminiscing about their lives and telling stories.
Surely not. People on podcasts who go off on tangents. Yeah. How very dare they.
But if you like us and you like the informal nature, you'll like The Wittering Whitehalls. So I recommend that highly. And that's it for me.
Right. That sounds a good audio listen. So enjoy the break, everybody. I hope you have a fantastic summer, and we will be back. Make sure that you click that subscribe button so that you know and it pops up as a new podcast when we are back. Otherwise, check back with us in September and maybe we'll see you again soon. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, I'm supposed to be leading this, aren't I? Right, okay. 's not a good look, actually. It really looks like something's been, everybody looked at me and like, what have you been doing? And I could just hear my dad in my head going, what have you been doing? What were you doing wrong? How on earth did you get bruises like that doing that? I don't understand what you could have been doing wrong to get that.
'Yes, while you were enjoying the beautiful weather,
yeah,
we were having 40 degree heat blown in our face in the afternoon when it suddenly turned windy. And I thought, oh, it's windy. it must be cooling down. So I went outside. Hot air just blown in my face. Oh.
I don't know whether it was just when I grew up, but and it just seemed to me that the magazines then, but they would be full of these amazing looking kind of, you know, tanned people, all glamorous on holiday. Whereas my experience on holiday was kind of like, always get insect bites really badly. So these kind of smooth bronze legs, no, always covered with big, swollen, inflamed mosquito bites. So the irony of this holiday was no mosquito bites because it was too windy, but covered in bruises. So bloody magazine adverts.